going to bring you a story that is just unfolding.
We need to eliminate all uncertainty before we take any action. It's certainly not a risk analysis they apply to other areas where they take dramatic action, you know, the Iraq war being a glaring case in point.
The United States and China obviously have differences, but look at the things we have in common. We need a stable world to allow...
That's a big question.
Well, we got time.
If you don't know how to fix it, stop breaking it.
If we act boldly, we can make significant progress in reversing the potential
damage.
We
need to take some responsibility.
Cap and trade, you think that's really the answer?
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
When you start cutting your energy bill, you start giving your city opportunity.
And speaking of bold, with CNN talking head Glenn Beck comparing Al Gore to the Nazis, all I have to say is thank God for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Whereas the first two IPCC reports of this year illustrated the broad consensus of scientific thinking on global warming, this third and final report due out at the end of this week will advise the world's governments on how to solve the problem. Our friend Dr. Joseph Rome, former Clinton administration official and now an energy expert at the Center for American Progress, will join us for a preview on what that advice might be and the political gauntlet that such a report has to go through to see the light of day. Then we'll hear from authoritative Stanford University climatologist and professor Stephen Schneider on what he hopes and expects from the upcoming IPCC report, which he contributed to. And in our second half, if you care about wild salmon's future, grab a fork and eat a fillet. So says renowned chef Alice Waters and some 200 chefs nationwide who are asking Congress to protect wild salmon habitats and the delicious natural nourishment that sustains mammals like us. Chef Greg Higgins of Higgins Restaurant and Bar in Portland, Oregon, will stop by to tell us about the chefs who will be banging their pots in front of the Capitol next week so that you can eat the good stuff. And bringing up the rear on today's Eco Talk is the Bush administration, which that's where they belong, bringing up the rear, which appeared to be a little more skittish, talking about peddling their weird science now that the Democrats are asking the tough questions. This week, one of Bush's leading environmental ideologues resigned ahead of yet more congressional hearings on the politicization of science. The Union of Concerned Scientists, Michael Halpern, will join us to tell us why this is a good, but not good enough yet, step. But first, we want to welcome back our friend Dr. Joseph Rome. He is a senior fellow, as I mentioned, at the Center for American Progress, where he oversees the blog climateprogress.org. He's also the author of the book, Hell and High Water, Global Warming, the Solution, and the Politics. Welcome back to EcoTalk.
Hi.
So you've had a peek of at least the draft copies of the IPCC report?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Well, I think that the key is hopefully it doesn't get too watered down, but that we can take action now to avoid the worst of global warming, but we have to start now. I mean, we can't dawdle another 10 or 20 years. I think that is sort of one key message. Another key message is that the transportation sector is a tough sector to deal with, and it's going to take major government effort to address. And then there's going to be a lot of contentiousness over how much emissions or what level of concentrations the planet can sustain. I think that's going to be the biggest bone of contention.
Now, listeners of this program certainly have heard many scientists and energy experts like yourself weigh in on what we need to do. Will this document, because it is consensus and because it is from more than 100 countries, have more clout or perhaps any additional steps that we've not heard before?
Well, I think listeners to this program probably know that I don't think anything could budge the Bush administration. Clearly, the first two reports were very authoritative, and even though they were conservative in the sense that they underplayed what the real risks were, they made very strong statements that humans are the main cause of climate change that we're seeing now, and that if we don't take action soon, rather dire consequences are ahead of us. This report, I think the key thing for people to realize is that this report has to be signed off on by representatives from 120 governments, including the United States and oil countries like Saudi Arabia. And they can veto any word. Any one government can veto any one word, so that what gets through is really a least common denominator report. You can take to the bank anything that those governments all agree to.
And I think in the last report, it was U.S., Saudi Arabia, and China that were the very ones trying to water down the report.
Yes, absolutely. And the press accounts indicate that those three countries, again, are trying to water down this report. In particular, it looks like they're trying to get the report to say that it would be very expensive to take action now and that we need these imaginary new technologies. I talk about that in the book, in Hell and High Water, the technology trap, where you go around arguing that we can't solve the problem with existing technologies and we have to sit around waiting for the invention of breakthrough new technologies. So it looks like they're going to try to water that down, and that, I think, will be very interesting. I hope there's a lot of pushback from the governments in Europe and elsewhere who understand that we can take action now, and we have to take action now.
And, of course, attempts to soften the science will only make the reality that much harsh when it arrives, meaning the less we do, the worse it's going to be.
Oh, absolutely. No, that is the irony of all this. The conservatives who think that they're sparing the planet from, you know, government action on climate change are just guaranteeing that when we do take action on climate change, the government's going to have to do more onerous things.
And it'll be a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Further down the road. I just wanted to ask you if you had any comment on Glenn Beck. I can't even say his name. His syndicated radio show. He was talking about Al Gore and the Nazis. Did you think that was expected or way out of left? I'm obviously out of left field, but, you know, CNN, that's not exactly, you know, Hannity and Combs.
No, but, you know, I think he's had a history of making some of these absurd statements. I just think that the opponents of action on climate change are getting more desperate that they have to, you know, bring in the Nazis. When Michael Crichton wrote his book State of Fear, trying to create disinformation on global warming, he actually compared climate scientists to eugenicists and Soviet science. So, it's sort of the last refuge of people who don't have any facts. I think there's no question that, Al Gore, his analysis in An Inconvenient Truth in the book and the movie are very solid. I personally thought they were very solid. You can quibble with a little thing here and there, but basically, you know, he's going to be remembered as Paul Revere. He's not going to be remembered in a negative light. He's going to be vindicated. And ironically, all these people who are trying to get us to take no action, they're all going to vindicate Al Gore. Everything that Al Gore describes in that movie occurs if we don't take action. Well, these guys are trying to convince us not to take action, so they're all going to turn Al Gore into a prophet.
That'll be fun to watch, although the consequences, again, are pretty serious. One of the things that Glenn Beck is taking issue with is rising sea levels. What's your opinion? I know that you've studied that pretty carefully.
Sure, absolutely, and I actually studied oceanography. Rising sea levels are among the greatest threat that we face, and sea levels are now rising about an inch a decade, and there was an article in Science magazine earlier this year which just projected what would happen if the trends of the last few decades continue in a linear fashion. And the answer is that by the end of the century, we could have sea levels rising 6 inches a decade. That is not something that you want to expose the world to. That would be devastating to hundreds of millions of people who live along the coast. And it's very hard to adapt to constantly rising sea levels. So I tend to think that yes, it's certainly true that we don't know for sure exactly what's going to happen in sea level rise because seas are rising faster than any of the models had projected, and the ice sheets are being disintegrated using dynamic processes that that don't get modeled in our current computer models. So we don't know how bad the situation is going to be, but to argue that because we don't know how bad it's going to be means we can't warn that it might be quite bad is, I think, very specious.
And as we speak, the glaciers are melting, after all, and Greenland is shrinking its ice mass. So thank you for your comments, Dr. Joseph Rome. Insightful as always. When we come back, we'll be hearing from another expert, world-renowned climatologist Stephen Schneider from Stanford University. Stay with us.